So anyway, let's pray over this message today. Father, we thank you and praise you. Jesus, you're the head of the church. We want to honor you. We reverence you. We have fear of the Lord. We want to do what you say do. You're the boss. And Father, we just hallow your name. We thank you. You're the great God, and you're for us, and you want us to receive today. I want to receive today, so we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So how many people are born again in here?
Hallelujah.
All right. I didn't get to raise your hand. I'm not putting you on the spot, but you can be. You know, I'm not pressuring you. You know, but your friends here can show you what to do. So again, I'm not pressuring you. And you might be hearing a message today like you've never heard, because I had to pray over this. A couple weeks ago, in an offering, something came out, and Pastor just kind of alluded, maybe that's a good thing. And then God dealt with me about ministering this, and I wouldn't do it otherwise, because I don't want to open up the door to a bunch of persecution. You guys are great, but you put yourself out there, and I've been through it other times, and so I don't do this on my own. I'm going to be talking about, you know, the financial realm and things, and you see the bulletin, what is it, a picture of a guy, I think I titled it Reaping the Harvest. So I believe God laid this on my heart for this. So when I said how many people are born again, that means you got the Holy Ghost in you. You're born again. The Holy Ghost in John 16 said, you know, well, Jesus said that he's come. The Spirit of truth has come. The God is into all truth, the whole truth, the full truth. For he doesn't speak of himself. Whatever he hears, that's what he speaks. And then this really came to me a year or two ago. Am I ringing here? I'm okay, I guess. I'll try and stay on. This came to me a year or two ago about, I was looking in the Amplified, and it says, he will honor and glorify me. So I went to the Holy Ghost and said, we're going to honor, Holy Ghost, you and I are going to honor and glorify Jesus today. And I've used this a lot, and I think it thrills me. It says that the Holy Ghost, take this for yourself, he'll draw upon what's Jesus, he'll receive what's of Jesus, and he'll reveal it. And I'm talking about the Amplified Bible now. He'll reveal it to you. That's revelation knowledge. I want that today for me. I want it for you. He said he'll declare it, disclose it, and transmit it to us. So we receive the download, what God's given you here today. So I believe this message is for us today. And particular, he wants to jog our thinking. So we want to hear with our heart and not come to the wrong conclusion. You know, we're going to use a lot of financial things, but this will work in every realm of life, spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. Basically, we're talking about how to receive. You know, I get into this. I got born again in 1976, a year or so late. Well, the summer of 77, I'm glad to be going to heaven, but I'm thinking there's more. There's something more. And then all of a sudden, one night coming home, I heard this minister on the radio, changed my life forever. It's Kenneth Copeland. I'm not promoting him. We're partners. I've been a partner since September of 1977. And by partner, I mean, you know, he's probably a better partner for me than I am for him, for us. We do pray for him. We give. But their partnership is amazing. In fact, one time there was a storm coming through. A tornado went through our area. We got a phone call from the ministry saying, are you guys all right? You okay? Do you need help? They go in there and they actually help the partners. But that's a side issue. So I started getting into this, of course, listening to a lot of his tapes at that time. Tapes, you know, remember tapes? So, and I was driving an hour and a half.
Cassette tapes,
yeah. I still have them. A-track, no, well, I remember them, but my buddy had an A-track and a 65 Chevelle. Beach Boys, Four Seasons, all the way. So I started following this. One of the first things got into me was about the message of prosperity and giving and that sort of thing. And I started teaching it in the 80s. And one time a prophet came to the church we were going to. His name was Ivan Tate. And, you know, he'd just look at somebody and say, he'd have a word for you. And this was no flake. Pastor talks about this guy, too. And the one word he started out with me is, you know, you have a new, God's given you a new heart full of faith. Nothing is too difficult for you. You'll walk through some areas people think are difficult, but God's making them smooth for you. This is your year of prosperity. There's a big horn of plenty surrounding you. the one guy in church said, I knew that guy was real because you're Mr. Prosperity. So, I mean, I had this reputation because I taught this a lot and walked in it. So, but after years of this and doing okay, doing well, but we had gotten married then. I think it was in the later in the 80s. The Lord said to me, you're doing a better job of giving than you are receiving. You know, after, you know, all this time, and I didn't take it as an insult. I thought, yeah, let's go on with this. Let's pick up on this and learn more. So in other words, you're not taking everything God's given you by what you're doing. And that'll work in every realm, not just financial. So, you know, we can give things mechanically. We didn't do this necessarily, but you could be writing tithe checks, offering checks for 20 years, just mechanically, oh, got that, throw in a bucket, never think about it, never speak over it, and it's like works. But in our covenant, the new covenant, that works doesn't get it. We know this. It's faith that pleases God. So started working on this. Turn to the first scripture I'm going to use, Genesis 8:22. This is my scripture list. We'll see how far we get today. But, and I tell you what, with no church last week, and then they closed the farmer's market where Darlene's business is, so we didn't have to get on there 2 days setting up and doing it. So I had plenty of time to study. Man, I was digging into this. Did I say Genesis 8:22? I was digging into this, and you think, oh, I got to study. No, man, I was thrilled. I love this. The word of God, when you get into it, it's phenomenal. You guys know this, but Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So, I mean, we're not going to get out of winter, you know, but we could get out of the teens, maybe. I think we will coming up here, but so, you know, people talk about climate change and all this. The earth's going to warm up and go away. No, it's going to melt away someday. But so this is a principle that God's given us concerning as long as the earth remains. Seed time and harvest, heat and cold, summer and winter. All, you know, there's a stability in God, which the world doesn't have. Some of the church doesn't even have it. Is there something I can do about the ringing here? Are we okay? You guys hear that? Does that seem okay? Maybe that's better. How's that? We'll see. What was I saying? Okay, there's a stability in God, you know, the world doesn't have, but, you know, when you can, you guys know how to do this. You hook into something by faith and you can stay the course no matter what the circumstances look like. We know this. This is where, like Donnie's talking about, a lot of people depressed. They don't know what to do exactly. And all they, first of all, they need to just turn towards God. But that's not my message today. But it's a hard issue. You can write these checks and do things mechanically. You can do anything mechanically. If it's not in faith, it's not pleasing to God. You know, faith pleases God. You know, anybody ever hear of Oral Roberts? So, you know, we think of Oral Roberts, I think of the Magnificent Healing Ministry. And, you know, Pastor talks about, as a kid, he, in the 50s, I think he said, Oral Roberts was near Harrisburg or something, and they went. I mean, I was born in 52. That makes me 73. And my youth is renewed like the Eagles. We're working out. We just formed another business. So, anyway, so Oral Roberts, Ed was there, and he said it was phenomenal, like crutches and wheelchairs and things just flying. And, you know, you could go back and look at a video of this. But, you know, all that, in fact, Kenneth Copeland grew up under, I mean, that was his spiritual father. He tells a lot about Oral Roberts. But the first thing, before that, before all the healing ministry, Oral Roberts got a revelation of seed time and harvest. And I heard this talked about where, at the time, I think he was a pastor or itinerant, but I think he was a pastor at the time, and they didn't have a home. They stayed in the deacons, or they moved from place to place a few weeks at a time. And his wife, Evelyn, said, Oral, you know, you got to give me a house, or I'm going home to my mother. And he said, you wouldn't do that. He said, watch me. She said, watch me. She was serious. So he must have went to a meeting with the, you know, they must have weekly or bi-weekly meetings with the board and the deacons or what have you. And he said, about this, we've got to get a house. Lord, do you want me to move this at all? Should I? Okay, you're working. You're the techie. we got to get a house. And then he said, and I'm gonna put the first offering in. He put his whole paycheck in, which I think was $50. $57. So maybe if I stay over here, I don't know. Yeah. Move the podium. Yeah. How many, you guys just move. Yeah. Hey, this is something. Yeah. So he put the whole paycheck in. And he went home, and it was a winter night, and he said, man, it wasn't nearly as cold outside as it was in that bedroom with his wife. Oral, you didn't do that. He said, yeah, I did. And, you know, when you're anointed, you do something. That's like this afternoon. I'll probably think back and say, did I really say that? Oh, God. But anyway, but I went to bed, and then it was early morning hours, in the middle of the night, and somebody's knocking on the door. Now, Oral, he's living with these people, but he answers the door. And here's this farmer, the richest farmer in the county, they said. And he said, Oral, I was at that meeting tonight, and I'm ashamed of myself. I didn't put any money in. And I'm a farmer. I know you've got to plant a seed to get a crop. This is a revelation that came. This is back, I don't know what year this was, way back. But, you know, they didn't know things we did. So he got the revelation, you got to plant a seed to get a crop. The farmer said, I'm in trouble. I've been playing the stock market, and I'm in trouble. I went out back, dug up this money out of the backyard, and he gave him four $100 bills. He said, I never saw four $100 bills before. So, and Evelyn was on his case, so he goes in there, and he's waving these in front of him. And she says, is this what I think it is? He says, yeah. So they ended up buying a house, and praise God. But that revelation came, and then he moved, well, of course, went on, you know what happened with his healing ministry. As far as seed time and harvest, do we believe God? Do we believe the Word of God is true? Do we believe that this is, for as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest? You know, I want to interject here. I'm not going to get on this except for right now. You can reap off of somebody else's harvest. Like, we are reaping off of my great-grandfather's harvest. I don't know how yet it's coming in, but we are reaping off of it because he gave land to build the church when he came over to this country and had farmland. But anyway, so, you know, and it says in the Bible about we can reap off of other people's labors, maybe especially in the spiritual harvest. So, but do we believe that this is it's a principle that God introduced here, and not just naturally, but it's true spiritually. In John 12:24. I mean, not only is there a physical seed, there is a spiritual seed. And the spiritual seed was Jesus. The holy seed come down from heaven. John 12:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. I hear pages. Sorry, I didn't mean for you. They didn't have to turn there. But it's not our main scripture. But verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So much fruit. So God allowed this seed to be planted and die. And, you know, God is a God of resurrection where a seed in the right soil, in the right conditions, it'll come up, it'll sprout up first of the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. And it can shoot down roots. And it can then eventually shoot up and produce much fruit. Now look at the fruit of that seed of Jesus planted in the ground, went to hell, died for us, spent 3 days there, and then was resurrected. We're the only, I hate the word religion, but we're Christians. We got a God who's alive. Amen. And this is, I know Pastor's bringing this up in his teaching. You know, if you want to witness, move over to the gifts of the Spirit, the supernatural. This is what is coming. This is what should be strong in us right now. This multiplication of the seed of Jesus, where how many are out there now? Millions and millions and millions of believers are now because of that one seed of Jesus Christ coming into the earth. Wow. How many are in heaven already? How many of the multitudes are coming in? Amen. Man, I told you before, I came in with the hippies, Jesus Revolution, and they talked about the dirty hippies coming in. Well, don't we want some people coming in? We don't.
Yes, sir.
You know, we minister to people like that sometimes weekly. That, you know, I told you before, this one guy comes in, the people scatter. I always move the napkins because he sets his stuff down there. And anyway, but we're friends. He says, I got to get my coat sewn. I'm thinking, it's buttons sewn on my coat. I'm thinking, get a coat. Maybe we should buy him a coat. But I've invited him to church. Now, he lives down the line. But one day, John's coming in here.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And we're going to all work.
Praise the Lord.
But I'm saying, you know, think about the harvest coming. And this wasn't in my notes, but we've got to be willing and able to branch out ourselves. Let the seed that's in us grow up. And if we got to go to the nursery with 52 kids over there and help out, we do. Or change a diaper. Or in the movie, which Greg Lowry was, you know, he's a minister now. But anyway, in the movie, it's an interesting scene. It's true. They came in. Some of the people were talking about the dirty, stinking hippies. And I know what that is. Not that I was dirty, but I know I had hair down to here, believe it or not. I can show you pictures. I got a picture with my Camaro, you know. Still have the Camaro, don't have the hair yet. So I'm not trying to be a comedian. I'm ministering here because God wants something across. And God's not on the throne like, what's he doing now? You know, we're going to get there. But, you know, they came in, these hippies, and some of the people in church didn't like, we got new carpet. Look at these dirty feet. So the pastor figures out next week he's washing their feet when they come in.
Amen.
You know, this is easy for me to say, easy for us to say, but there's what is our priorities, you know? You know, when I know of a pastor that, well, we're partners with, I mean, he's on his heart. In fact, it's part of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Eagle Mountain International Church. Pastor George Pearson and Kenneth Copeland's older daughters are the pastors there, and God is it on his heart. And we have been there. When we went to the Fort Worth many years, we'd drive out to the ministry. And I mean, you're going out through the country past the cattle, and we stop at this one ranch house. There's barbed wire and there's tall grass. I don't know if it's a prairie grass. I don't know what you call it. Windmill, a rundown ranch house, I mean a shack. And we're thinking, man, if we could just buy this place. Now, my gosh. We got some cactus at the edge there. We still have it growing in the garden. Came home on the plane with it. But anyway, that pastor has a vision. Now, we haven't been back. We're going back, though. Near the ministry, there's 3,000 acres being leveled with infrastructure, and I'll stay over here. Infrastructure, and there's going to be 10,000 homes. God's put it on his heart. These people, there's a lot of them don't know me. A lot of them need me. A lot of them are depressed. A lot of them put on a good front, but they're miserable. So you both start preparing. He's getting his church already getting, now they already have discipleship class. They already got people in place, but they're building the infrastructure in the church so that that you know, when these people are there, and he's encouraging, like we said, I'm not just puffing you guys up, but inviting people
Lord.
To church,
yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Which we've done. A lot of our acquaintances at the market and stuff live in Boyertown, way down, but you know, not making we still talk to them. But what I'm saying is, he's preparing that for people to just go out and minister. Led by the Spirit.
Amen.
I mean, they're preparing the church for this because God's on this mission about meeting the people's needs. I mean, that's a great metroplex where it's really growing. So they're preparing. So I believe we're preparing too. You know, we got married. In fact, when Darlene, we decided early on the kids, you know, if she's going to leave the job and stay at home. I didn't know how that would manage, but it did. And then came up a few years later then that this tax collector thing came up and God met our needs with that. She could work at home. It's a lot of work, but at home. But then after we got married, the first thing we did, first vacation was a month and a half later, we went to Fort Worth, Texas, the convention. You know, Pastor talks about this. So, you know, you put yourself under the Word of God and you, I mean, I'm not bragging on these things. I'm using examples. We've spent $50,000, $60,000 just going to these conventions over the years, and we haven't been there in a while. But, you know, you put yourself out there. You put your priorities where they need to be.
Amen.
And not saying you quit your job and just look at God. But anyway, when Jesus was planted, one that kernel became millions and millions of people, and there's hordes coming in, So we get the privilege of living in this time, but think about there's a physical and there's a spiritual, but even a physical, like the Lord, And well, Jesus talked about quitting the harvest with physical things. Paul talked about it. So these are some of the word that we had to go on. What's said about harvest is what the word says. And if you look at the natural, one kernel of corn, I looked it up, about 800 to 1,200 kernels on an ear. And the stalk of corn can have several ears. So, I mean, one planted kernel can provide all that in the natural, so how much more in the spiritual realm? I want to get into this, and I'm not going to talk about tithing except to say this, define that the tithe is literally the tenth part, 10%. And Leviticus, you don't have to turn it, I'm going to read this to you. Leviticus 27:30 defines it, and all the tithe of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's, it is holy to the Lord's. So, you know, you can say, people say this, tithing's under the law. I live in the New Testament. Well, don't show your ignorance. Just shut up. Don't let people know how stupid you really are. Because, I'm joking here, you know, but tithing was, of course, we know, before the law. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, which puts us into an eternal thing of tithing. I'm not going to get into all that. I talk some of that at the offering, but Hebrews talks about Melchizedek, who's an eternal priest, not of the tribe of Levi or the Aaronic priesthood. That's not my message. But the tithe, of course, is in the Gospels. It talks about they tithe and this and this and that. And guess what? It's in the New Testament in Hebrews. Hebrews 7:8. Here men that die receive tithes. There he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. I'm talking about Jesus. So that's not my message. But it's just want to define that. In my book, for what it's worth, the tithe, the top 10% belongs to him. It's his. But now that's what all I'm going to say about that, because we're going to talk more, mostly about offerings and some giving to the poor. And not talking about that a lot, but in conclusions with what we're talking about, that's what I'm getting at, offerings. So if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 9, you have to talk about the tithe, but the tithe is... it's his, but you haven't really given offerings until you've tithed, in my book. You can, you know, if you don't believe what I'm saying, that's fine, but you talk to God about it. That's between you and God. But just don't make it a money issue. Make it a heart issue. What is the truth here, Lord? So, 2 Corinthians 9, I better get there. I'm the one teaching. So, and I love this scripture. And... check my note sheet, make sure I don't miss something here. Okay. 2 Corinthians 9, I'm going to start in verse 6. But this I say, he which sows. Now we're talking about sowing here again, and we're going to be talking about reaping. He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. We know that. We know that, you know, if you see people that are misers and they wonder why nobody ever gives to them, and you see people that are generous and it seems like they're always blessed. But this is what I want to focus on here in verse 7. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, it's a heart issue, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, why would God love a cheerful giver? You know, faith pleases God. If you can give something, like Pastor talked about, when, before he got born again, he didn't want to give anybody anything, and then it supernaturally changed where he wanted to give. If you can give somebody something that's yours, you know, that is in your hand, and you can give it cheerfully, and you're in faith, most likely. So God loves a cheerful giver. The Amplified says a prompt to do it, hilarious giver. So there's two things there we want to focus on. He said, not grudgingly or of necessity. Two things. The Amplified under grudgingly, it says reluctantly or sorrowfully. We don't want to give like with such hesitation. And you guys are phenomenal givers. I'm talking about a church at large, but this is to help pick up, to move us higher in a certain realm. So this is not to pull an offer either. Not grudgingly, reluctantly, or sorrowfully. So if you, let's say you're watching a TV minister or something, or even a project here, like Mexico last year, if you had hesitation in your heart, I don't know about this, then don't give it at that point. Get yourself mind renewal. Amen. Amen. Renew your mind so that you're giving in faith. And you know, there are cases where projects, I'm not saying here, but because these, I believe our projects are led by the Holy Ghost, but there's projects, I mean, we're partnered with a number of ministries, and but, you know, you could see something that you, a ministry you follow is a project, and you think, well, that's really not for me, and that God's not putting on my heart to do it, and that's fine. Just follow your heart. And then somebody could say, well, see, Mike said, if you're hesitant, I don't have to give. Yeah, you need to give. You're the one who really needs to give. So, you know, somebody using that for an excuse does need to get over themselves. So I'm not talking about the excuse. I'm talking about hesitancy. You know, make, just don't relax. Just get yourself before God and renew your mind concerning, is this for me? And what does the Word say about this? So I'm going to get myself to be a cheerful giver. The second part is not of necessity. The Amplified says under compulsion. You know, maybe you haven't heard this much. When I came into the kingdom, and it's true, you know, if you have a need, sow a seed. I mean, that, there is no harvest without a seed, but I don't want to jump ahead, but the bottom line on that is not every time you have a need, you need, you know, the seed is great, but you need to go beyond that. You need to reap on what you already sowed. Let the cat out of the bag. That's where we're going. So, but so we're not doing under necessity or under compulsion. Well, man, I got to give this to get out of a hole. Maybe you really do need to give to get out of this hole you're in. You know, and I'm not going to jump ahead on that. I'll tell you that later. So, not of necessity. So we got to take this seriously. And again, you guys, we're givers here. I mean, the size of our congregation, giving, and I mean, we put over $15,000 into Mexico. That there's a truck out there.
Praise the Lord.
Preaching the gospel, and also the Bible school and the Christmas things. Praise God! So you guys are phenomenal givers. I mean, when Rosie gets behind things with the candy bar sales, I mean, you know things are cranking. And all of you. I'm not trying to pinpoint anybody in particular, but but we want to also say. What did you say?
No, I just said it was awesome.
Yeah. By the way, I know you, there's a microphone there. We do this together, and so if you have something to say, we're Team Arendo here.
Yes, I love it. Team Arendo.
But, so we're not giving of necessity. You know, I got to give to get out of this mess. Well, maybe you do, but let's also look at, you know, if you have a garden and you're hungry, go out and pick a tomato or something, you know. Now, so that you have some for next time, next harvest. But it's our nature to give as believers. And some believers are stingy, I'm sure. You know, we are a rare group. I mean, we're Word of Faith, and there's others out there, a lot of others, that believe in sowing, making confessions. This is big on me. I don't, you know, maybe you haven't heard that much. I think you have. We don't pray every week on things, but our income sometimes is more monthly or sporadic. But there's times, maybe monthly, we take the time and pray over things, pray over the tithe, pray over the offerings, and speak over them. And you're never going to hear me. You're not going never going to hear me answer when they say, "Poor Mike." That's not me. You know, it's like Daniel was talking about our confession. You know, you got to speak over your things and realize that. So here, we know about sowing seed, we know about confession. There's a lot of people out there know about sowing, giving, but they don't know anything about confessing over it. They think you're that name it and claim it group. Well, we've named it, we've claimed it. Amen? We have you? You have.
Amen.
So, but then also, we got to realize there's another step beyond that, and we'll talk about that. But we make up our mind. I'm not going to give grudgingly, with the least bit of hesitation. I'm not going to give out of necessity. Or the other thing, a necessity. You know, we just came off the Christmas season here, and God bless St. Jude's and the other ones, Shriners Hospitals, right? Have you seen those commercials? And I'm not knocking them at all. They do massive, wonderful things, I guess. I haven't ever checked them out, but my word, taking care of kids and no charge to the parents, that sort of thing. But then every now and then you see these filling in there about the, you know what I mean, between the Hallmark movies, guys, come on. No. You see these things about the dogs coming on, and I'm, God bless dogs, I like dogs, but you know, they look, they make you, they try and pull on the necessity. You know, you've got to give, or these dogs are going to starve. No, I don't have to give, I don't want them to starve, but that's not me. We could talk with some experience, we know somebody, maybe even a family member that, you know, gave some things in a will because they were duped into these commercials. So other kids in the family maybe didn't get certain money because some pit bulls did or somebody. And I'm not criticizing this person at all. They got duped. They didn't. They're not spiritual. Well, they're in heaven now. So anyway, this is where the people lay a trip on you, to say like a 60s term, 70s term, that, man, if you don't do this, you're guilty. And, you know, I see a lot of people, some people wear the T-shirt. What is one of the groups there, the Shriners or the other one, St. Jude, this T-shirt saved a life. Thank God they're out there, $19.95 a month or whatever. I think it's probably a good thing. It's not for me, but I think it's probably a good thing. So, you know, there. But a lot of people that maybe aren't as church, maybe they put their money in that. But what I'm saying is don't let these things draw on. You know what you're doing spiritually. That's what, nothing wrong with giving if you're led to do it. That's fine. But how do I get out of this one? You know what I mean? The dogs and all that. I just, that bugs me when they do that on TV. So what do they have, what's their budget if they're putting all this advertising on TV? It's probably a good thing. I don't know, but it's not something I'm personally feeling a necessity to be involved with. So you analyze this. I'm not going to get grudging. I'm not going to give out a necessity. You know, I've heard her say this. Somebody calls and says, I need this tax something or other by Tuesday. And she says, your need is not my necessity, you know. Just because somebody can't think ahead is not our problem. What's that saying? You know what I mean? Yeah. Right, that's it. Yeah, lack of preparation, not an emergency on my part. So, you know, don't be hard-hearted. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about know what you're giving to. Take this scripture seriously. We're not supposed to give grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And guess what then? God is able to make all grace, every fear of an earthly blessing abound towards you, it says. We're not going to go on there, but there's reward in that. But I don't want to leave any crop in the field. I don't want to leave anything on the table. You know, like if a farmer plants 500 acres of corn, And good ground, great seed, pioneer seed, whatever, great, and God shines on it and the rain comes and he's got 500 acres bumper crop and he doesn't have a revelation that you're supposed to reap. He goes out and does 10 acres. He gets his 10 acres, 490s in the field. This is sometimes the church at large. They don't know about reaping. So I don't want to leave 490 acres in the field. I don't want to leave anything on the table, because I don't want to get to heaven and him say, well, why didn't you do this? Well, I didn't have the money. Well, yeah, there it was. So God's not a harsh God. That's why he's teaching us. And I'm not condemning anybody. But think about over the years what you've given. Last year, you know, you're doing taxes. I don't know if you item or whatever. But in the last year or so, think about what you've given. So does a farmer put, well, whatever they sow, bushels per acre in their planters? Do they expect to get just that many bushels back, what they planted? You know, do they, like I said, the one kernel of corn can produce thousands on a one stalk. So what, in your giving, I'm not, even if you don't believe the hundredfold return, in your giving though, what is a harvest? What should it be? Luke 6:38 even says, given shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You should have some return on your crop. You should have some return on the faith you sow, maybe for healing. You should have, and I'm talking about finances, you should have some return. And you say, well, what does it matter? It does matter. God can get the job done without us, but he's going to get the job done with somebody. That's right. I don't want to be by the wayside because, I mean, again, this is not bragging on me or us, but I am called as a harvester. As a kid on up, and I just realized this in the last 10 years, I am called as a harvester. Because I was thrilled. I got to run combines. I got to do things in the harvest. And I always wanted to have be on a combine crew. My buddy's going to run the trucks. I told you this before. It never happened, but, you know, it was a dream. And so I can tell you stories, but God just confronted me. You're a harvester. This is part of your calling in teaching. So I'm not standing here as a novice, nor do I know everything, but we've experienced a good bit of this. So the blessing, you know, God's blessed us. We have these blessings, but he's also put a system in there, like he said, seed, time, and harvest. He's got principles. So you can't just sow your seed, and then even if you know about confession, well, I'll confess over my seed, it's blessed, and blah, 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 blah. And then we'll kick back on the sofa and think, well, it's coming in, yeah, it's coming in. I'm starving. God, when's it coming in? No, you can't. You've got to follow through with the whole part of the Word of God. We know that, like I said, spiritual sowing and reaping is talked about, equated to natural things in the Bible. Apostle Paul, Jesus, this is what we have to go on. I'm trying to give you enough scripture today so you're not in any doubt. But this idea is also left in some ministries where if you just give me this money, man, you're going to thrive. And none of the ministries we're partners with, none of our, we check things out. We know, I could go into that, and I'm not going to at the moment, maybe next week, or maybe later. But there are some, apparently, that are so pressed for money. They got such projects going, they don't even think about that you're not supposed to give grudgingly or necessity. They're thinking about, I got to have the money to pay that bill on this sanctuary. Or there are some charlatans, I guess, you know, that are just trying to get your money. Obviously, I'm not naive. Obviously, there's some of them out there. But they'll tell you, just sow your seed and sorry, see ya. And like I said, the ministers we're partners with are in touch with us and they're concerned. So you need to think about that on outside ministries too. So you sow your seed, you make a confession, the rest is up to you, la-di-da. See, that's what God wants to jog our thinking, get higher today. So here's the million-dollar question, literally. It could be a literal million-dollar question. Is reaping automatic?
No, it's not.
There's things here. You mean I got to do something else? Yeah, well, it's to your benefit. You know, this is not hard. It's just a matter of using faith. And next week I'm going to get into some specifics. If it doesn't snow, and as I said, maybe snow, I don't know. But I'm going to get into some specifics of things that happen in our life. And I can't tell you, you buy XYZ stock and you buy ZYQ stock. And I can't tell you that. You got to be led by the Spirit, but I can tell you some things that we've learned that have done us really well. So it's just, you know, if you just sow your seed, and like we talked about the farmer, it's not true in the natural. You sow your seed and it just comes in. You know, I worked for my grandparents and my uncles. We did custom harvesting. Some distance too, but nothing like the Western things, which always thrilled me. And my dad had an Air Force buddy, another pilot. And when I was 16, we went out west to his ranch, and he grew bluegrass and fescue for grass. I mean, and he had as a kid, I'm because I've been around this stuff. He's got this side hill John Deere, and I am so thrilled. I got to sit on that thing, but I mean, it's just this is harvesting is in me. So where was I going with this? It's not automatic. It's, the crop of wheat is not going to jump out of the ground. We did barley, a lot of wheat and oats and that sort of thing. And I got to run combine. Most of the time I'm on the dump truck. And Darlene's heard this so many times, she could probably tell it herself. But July 4th, you know, we just got done with barley. We're into the wheat harvest, but I'm going to be off. I don't know if my uncles are working, but I'm off. My parents are having a picnic, and we lived about half a mile away. And Bruce, my uncle Bruce, called and says, "Hey, Checky Clore wants his wheat combined." I always thought his name was Checky, like checkers. I just found out the other year his name was Jacob. Jackie, his wife called Jackie. But he's always Checky to me and my buddies. And he had a farm there, 501. Ran cows across 501 where the Sunoco station is now. I probably told this to you before, too. I did.
Well, he owned
the land where the industrial park is, and that's where we would be. Yeah, we combined that. And I can tell you, that crop did not come in by itself. I had a dump, dump truck has a chute in the back. I had to back up a hill, get to a blower, just right. And then I've got the dump up. I'm up on that thing, and it's hot. I love this. But anyway, I can tell you, the crop didn't come in by itself. So yeah, so now all that industrial area there, if you know it, he walked cows across when they're done milking, and he had pasture over there. And that was Jackie Clark. I knew him. Martha and Jackie, I guess. Okay, God bless him. I believe he's there. I mean, in heaven. So in Mark 4, let's just look at this. We know this scripture, but I want to nail it down. And I'm not saying stop giving, you know, you never stop giving. But you learn to go on and harvest off of it. Let's see, Mark 4, and I'm going to start it. Well, I'm going to start 24. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again, or to you. And unto him that hears shall more be given. Yeah, you could go home and say, he's full of it, you know. And you measured it, and you're not going to walk in this. But no, you guys don't do that. Verse 25, for he that has, to him shall be given. The he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Don't get mad at me or us or you. People shouldn't get mad at us because we've got stuff and we're going higher. And they think they're going, they're just going down. Here's the principle, people. I'm talking to them. Learn this. You know, when you've got something, you can walk in it. And verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. Now here is how the kingdom of God is. Genesis 8:22 said, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Jesus here himself is saying, so is the kingdom of God. This is how it works. A man casts seed into the ground. Who casts seed into the ground? Man. We do. Yeah, you're the one planting. Now, I love the teaching too in Mark 4 about the ground, the heart, and you know, the stony ground and all that. And we know to keep the cares and anxieties of the age away so you don't choke and suffocate the word. But, you know, we plant in good ground. Verse 27, sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up, he knows not how. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. So is the growth automatic?
Nope.
Well, it is in a sense that God is providing it. We don't have to, that's one thing we don't have to do. You plant the seed, you let it grow though. Now, you got to have good soil. So, in a sense, I'd say it is automatic because the seed knows what to do. Mm-hmm. And that in that seed, oh man, I just keep thinking about Jesus as the seed and how this has multiplied throughout time. And as we go, oh my word, we're in for, I can't get over the spiritual aspect, we're in for such a harvest. And even if we never really see the fullness of it, I believe we will, this generation, our generation. We're not the geriatric generation at all. You know. I like to see the young faces, but, you know, I said, I'm 73. I don't think that at all. I mean, you know, you go to a class reunion, we've been to both of ours last fall, and you look around, and it's like, wow, everybody's, some aren't going yet. You know, her one sister said to me, I mean, some are have the atmosphere they want to keep going, thriving. Man, we haven't slowed down a lick. We're weight training, and not just that, but spiritually. Her one sister said to me, this was years ago when I was moving into my own business, an appraisal business. Well, excuse me, but aren't you thinking of retiring? I said, no, that's not a Bible word. So, yeah, I did refire from the federal government. I was an appraiser there. Thank God for that. But as soon as I left there, my business actually doubled. And so anyway, that's another story, but on the goodness of God. So there it is. We sow the seed in the ground. The seed knows what to do. Like it's like sowing the word into you. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Your faith knows what to do in a situation. That's why you stop and you listen and you don't go off half-cocked in panic. You listen because your faith, that word inside you, knows what to do. If you hear, you can hear it. So then we're going on here. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Who does the reaping? The one that planted. He. In other words, this is what the point, a major point. The crop doesn't come in by itself. We've got to put in a sickle. The Amplified says, when the fruit is ripe, send forth the reapers. And I'm not going to get off on this, but there are harvesting angels. There are reaping angels. There's Lord of Hosts. He's talking about sometimes regarding the tithe and different things. Lord of Hosts, that's an angelic thing. We've got harvesting angels. There's times when I'm praying for ministries and I see us, you know, she and I in our combine. You fire that thing up and it's roaring and you get the thing, the reels turning and you're going down side by side. And I'm just saying, harvesting angels, you're bringing the money in here and other ministries. And, you know, you just, you know, I see this because I've done this. I've done this where, and you put your auger out and you got the transport and you got that thing turning. You're getting that money. You're getting that harvest out into these ministries, into this church. You know, you got to see these things. You got to visualize because it's the Word of God. I'm not talking about fantasizing. I'm talking about looking at the Word of God. So you sow it, the growth comes, and then you, as a person that sowed, put in the sickle. I said this before. My grandfather, who never drove a car, he bought cars for my dad and the brothers and sisters, but he didn't believe that man went to the moon. Came from the old country, but he had a thing to get corn. I don't know what you call it, a thing you have in your hand. But a scythe is what you use for the grains. But he had that, and then I think about. I remember some farmers had they got the thing that attached to the tractor to harvest corn, or the one row corn harvester, and we had the pretty big stuff. And now, massive things. So, harvesting has changed, but it's all having to harvest. My grandfather had a wagon, and in fact, we had it then. Just bringing a load of corn in a box wagon. I mean, my gosh, now you can do that in seconds, harvesting. But you send forth the reapers. You look at what you've sown. You realize you've got a crop growing. And you don't know what it is, whether it's next week, tomorrow, next year, 10 years, it's harvest time. But you know, and we'll get into that more next week when there's a knowing about this. So giving is not the total answer. Just speaking over the word is not the total answer. But you've got to put the sickle in. You've got to reap. How do I do this? Stay tuned. I'll give you some examples. I just can't get ahead of myself. But let's go to 1 Timothy. Maybe I'll give you a story coming up. John likes stories. Where's John? Anyway, I don't tell stories just to entertain myself or you. And like I said, sometimes you just don't want to give up personal things, but we're among friends, right? Right? Amen. So I'm going to... Can I give you some? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5, I'm going to start. And a lot of people, these first couple of scriptures, a lot of prosperity people don't like these scriptures. They go over them real quick because they don't know, But verse 5, 1 Timothy 6, 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. We can read the whole thing, but we're breaking in here. And destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. You don't want to act like, well, man, I've got all this money, I got this house, I got this, I got that. Look at me, I'm godly. No, there you could be, but there's a lot of worldly people that have gotten things by cheating and stealing or just hard work. They're not necessarily godly. I believe a lot of them are going to come into the kingdom, but you can't look at somebody that got money. Oh, they must be godly. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. I used to look at that too, but I got some revelation on it. I mean, if you need this, we have more vision than we have money. I always say that. That's not a bad confession. You want to keep going with the money at the vision. But if you have to have a bigger house or a newer car or better clothes before you're content, you're in covetousness. It's covetousness. You can have that dream, you can have that vision, you can be speaking that, but you got to be content. Well, like I said, we have vision for some major things and moves in the spirit, but we're content. You don't go to bed thinking, no, you're content because what you have. So that's not a bad thing. So now going on there in verse 9. But they that would be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drive men in destruction and perdition. So if the number one thing, you don't want to have the number one thing is to get rich. We should all have a drive to increase, to do better. You don't want that for yourself, for your family, for giving into ministries. But if the number one thing is to get rich, and you know, there's a lot of people out there like that. They have no thought of God whatsoever. But the number one thing to get rich, you're going to fall into temptation and a snare. There's a trap involved with this. A trap. You know, you don't want to get into this snare, because you get into a snare and you don't know how to get out. You got trouble. You got trouble for the forever till you're gone. I mean, but anyway. So the next verse: for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. That's misquoted by lots of well-meaning church people and people that preach against prosperity, but it's not that. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Well, what's the devil's root? You know, he doesn't want you hearing this message. He doesn't want you increasing. He doesn't want you getting any more. He loves, he wants to control, and he's scared because he's losing control. So going on there, then in verse 11, but you, O man of God, flee these things, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Sounds like the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, we have this, like I said, stability in God. You know, we're with everything we're doing, with all the big combines we're out there with everything we're doing, we still have a stability. God loves me. God was for me. The Lord's helping us. The Scripture, you know, the Lord's helping us. That's just a reassuring thing. He's helping us. So it says, go on and fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Now this is a faith fight. We've got to realize that, and we're going to talk about some key words coming up here: lay hold and lay up, lay up and lay hold. So he's talking about fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So let's go on down to skip down to verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. The trust is the issue. In the Gospels, Jesus, the apostles were, it blew their minds, so to speak. Jesus said, I said to who, about the riches, you know, they said, well, who then can be saved? These were not poor guys. They left their businesses, they had money. You can follow this through the Gospel. I know this is, some people can't get the concept, but you know, Jesus, you don't have a treasure if you got, you know, just a couple of bucks. And you can't, if they'd have known he was stealing from the purse if there's only $100 in there. There's, you know, they were a crusade team. They, anyway, that's not my point. But not to trust in riches. The whole issue is trusting in riches. We have a security that's beyond that. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. We're trusting in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. I want to read that to you out of the Amplified. I could quote it, but I want to make sure I get it exactly right. Who richly and ceaselessly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God's not against us having some joy. Well, obviously not against having some joy. It's a dumb statement. Joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. He's not against us having fun. You can have fun in church. You can enjoy life. We got to constantly tell ourselves this. I'm talking to me. When there's a deadline, I need this. Chicago tells me they're closing Friday morning. I need that review now. And you got all kind of issues. You got to get back to the appraiser, get them to correct it. So, you know, you just got to stay in joy. So, you know, we talked about, going back here, lay hold on eternal life in verse 12. We're going to go down to verse 19. Laying up in store for yourself a good foundation against the time to come, that you may lay hold on eternal life. Laying up and laying hold. So when you're laying up, do you think maybe you have an account, like an account in heaven? You know, Philippians 4:17, Paul said, talking about giving and receiving, he said, not that I desire a gift, but the desire of fruit may abound to your account. So we have an account. I want to look at a few things Jesus said. You don't have to turn here, but he basically said, in giving to the poor, in giving for the gospel's sake, Jesus was saying it's not gone. You know, you're converting this into treasure in heaven. You know, this is something like a lot of the church at large, I'm not talking about this church, you know, oh yeah, we're giving to this cause. And I gave my $20 this week, or I'm not knocking that, but yeah, they say you give, you got, yeah, certainly you got reward in heaven in the life to come. They don't fight you over that. But if you start talking about what I'm talking about, reaping, and you have to take some responsibility with your faith to bring in the harvest, you know, they can get to fighting you over that. So in again, I'm going to quote these. You don't have to turn them, but reference, I'll give you the references. What we commonly refer to as the rich young ruler. In Mark 10:17, he said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He comes running up there, slides in there in front of Jesus and says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And he's going down further in Mark 10:21. Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. You know, go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, follow me." Give to the poor. So we have a legal, I'm trying to make my case like an attorney, a legal precedent. We have Bible precedent here. You give to the poor, you're laying up treasures in heaven. So can you agree with me? We have an account. I'm working your crowd. I know you're shaking your head. I see notes taken. I think you're getting this. You know this. You may know this, but this is all the hours I spent studying this week. I know this stuff, but it just thrills me to get it more inside of me, and faith comes by hearing. So as you give to the poor, and it also giving for the gospel's sake, it talks about Mark 10, you are laying up treasure in heaven. So you must have an account. Like I said, the world says, oh yeah, yeah, when we get there, man, you're blessed because you gave. You're going to have reward in heaven. Well, There's precedent saying you have reward here and in the world to come.
Amen.
So this is what we're after, and not out of greed, out of promoting what God has called you to. Whatever he's called each of you to, and he's got a call on everybody's life, you could use more money, couldn't you, in it? If just to buy a couple more tracks or something, a tool for the gospel, or go to a convention. I mean, like I said, $50,000, $60,000, I think at least we spent on that. And we haven't been there a long time. That's gonna change. But, you know, you can all use some extra money. And it's not like, well, man, I think about Brother Hagin, what he went through, the stories he'd tell about, you know, God was dealing with him about things, and he had figured out his budget down to the point he said, I didn't even have enough for a piece of chewing gum. He had his budget figured out. He needed so much a week when he's on the road. He had to believe God. So you can use more money in your calling. I'm not talking about squandering it, but you can have a piece of chewing gum if you want. You can have a Coke if you drink that. But, you know, you can have some things, but, you know, you could use things as tools for the gospel. So anyway, he told the rich young ruler, "Go sell what you have, give to the poor, you shall have treasure in heaven." That's laying up. I'm talking about Timothy, we're going back there, laying up in store for yourself against the time to come that you may lay hold on eternal life. So, do I have time to tell you a story? I'll bring a story in here. My business, I'm a review appraiser. I don't go out anymore and do appraisals. I used to do that with the government. But and then we became, six of us handled all the Northeast, top of the, up there, Maine to below into Virginia, six of us, then there were five of us. So strictly we're reviewing. With USDA, who I work for, we had a lot of multifamily projects, anything you could name, a sawmill. I didn't do much in farm because that was another division, but, you know, so I'm a review specialist. So as we're going through my career, I became an appraiser in 1992 with the government, and you had to take courses to get certified, and I got certified in the quickest time, not bragging, but I was after it. And I took, and then you have continuing recurring education. Every 2 years of the cycle, you've got to have X amount for the state, federal. So I always took the harder stuff. And you could get by, realtors can do, get by with stuff, appraisers can get by taking the fluff. You just sit there and maybe listen and you're through. No, not me. I'm taking these things, moving in a direction toward designation where, you know, some courses were five-hour exams. Some of the people get out in a couple hours. It's because they're brilliant and had their own business already knowing all this stuff. I usually take the full 5 hours or 4 hours, whatever it was, but I take this stuff, challenge myself. You know, it's just in me to do this. So I'm laying up. I'm laying up education. I'm putting this in. And then finally I realized there's an institute called the Appraisal Institute that has designations, and they're the foremost in the world. It's an MAI, which I have, and an AIGRS, which is a review specialist, which I have. Not bragging, but I got initials, and if somebody wants something done right, they go to us. I don't think there's any in Lebanon County, and I don't think there's any in Berks. There's some around, but I mean, there's a bunch, but internationally. But I mean, I'm not bragging, but I got the top thing. But I had to start out laying up education, studying. Like you, this was both of us. She had to put up with me studying and things. And then in 2011, I decided, well, we're going to go for this MAI designation. So I had to get together all my experience, put it all together. I had to go through an hour and a half phone call with somebody from Minneapolis or something, and later that day they said, you passed, you've done all the experience, you're good. Now I got to go through exams. I probably told you this before. I know I did, but 2 days of exams. You basically, almost everybody takes a course on how to do these exams. You study and you go back over all the years of education you've had. And the first day is the morning, I think it was a four-hour exam. The afternoon, it was 3.5 or 4. And then the second day, same thing. I mean, you're all day, afternoon and morning, in exams, and they're not easy. And you got to have identification. You go in there, they check you up, down. They're not going to allow any ringers in there. You got to do this. And so, you know, I finally got through that December 7th of 2012. I passed all the exam criteria. And then we started thinking about, the next thing, I got to do a demo report. You got to show your stuff, what you know. Write a report. And I'm not looking forward to this. But we decided we're moving on to this. And they put up this thing where they would give you a property instead of having to pick your own. They give you a property. Mine was in San Antonio, an office building. And you write this report. I didn't have to go there. They give you the certain things. But they gave it to you. So you think, oh, I got this. No, nothing matches. You got to figure this out. And we paid the money, got the course, came in just before the holidays of 2012, and I'm studying. You're supposed to have a market analysis done before you go. Oh, you got to go to Chicago then. February 17th, 2013, 13 years ago, coming up, I left for Chicago for a week to finish this up. But you had so much done up front, and you go there, and you sow and see. I'm talking about laying up. Is this boring anybody? Are we okay here? So I got to go to Chicago. I got a laptop, and for some reason, I had this in one of my cases. I got this office case I'm carrying, suitcase. I got books. I mean, I'm carrying heavy books, and I'm going on the plane. And suddenly we realized, this is not going to work having this laptop in that travel. She runs out, and they're boarding. I'm waiting for her. She's coming, gets through, security comes in. I get my case. I'm the last one on the plane, and I'm, you know, this isn't making your day. You get to Chicago, and we don't go up to a terminal. We have to land and get out. It's cold like this. Get out and outside, get down the ramp, and then you go in. And people said to me, okay, you take the blue train in or whatever it was. I finally found that, got on the train into Chicago, and this was a Sunday traveling. So they said you go to the Merchant Mart, the big building in Chicago. You get in there, you come through, it hooks up to your hotel. Right. Not that day it didn't. I get off the train at this little place. You'd think this is out of the 40s. And I get off and I'm looking, the door's locked. Finally somebody says, it's not open here Sunday. This is not, I don't know why. What? This is weird. So I walk around, I'm walking all over the place. Finally see the Holiday Inn, where I head in there. So I'm in the 22nd floor, finally warming up. And the next morning we go, we're supposed to meet at the, go across the Chicago River. You're walking down Wacker Street into the room and see everybody there. And they said, we're not going, there's no formal class. We're here to facilitate. If you have questions, we'll, we're not going to give you answers. You just, we'll work with you as far as things. You don't have to show up. You can work in your room, which I did. But walking over there, this girl is, I said, are you going to the demo? And she said, yeah. She said, I'm all done, except I want to see about how we have to format this. I'm thinking, oh, man. That makes you feel like you're further behind. This person's done. And I mean, this is not just, this report was almost 300 pages, I think, when it got done. And so I'm laying, this is all seed. Fighting the good fight of faith, because I want to lay hold on that designation. Okay? So, maybe I'm telling a long story here, but it's fine. It's my story, I'll tell. So, she's at home, and it's cold. We're talking now, they're on the phone. Oh, anyway, this girl, all I get, you just got to format it. I just want to see about this. It's done. And she's one of these that worked on this stuff all the time, day in, day out. At that time, I'm still with the government. I had certain things, but I'm not a family business. So we get into the class, and the introduction, the guy says, we don't care about formatting. We just want to see your data. You want to see how you can put it together and get the conclusion you get. She got up and walked out. She's done for the week. I saw her, I think, the next Sunday when she was leaving. I mean, she had a week's vacation from the company, I guess. Anyway, so I'm in my room day and night. To me, a luxury was the hotel, 22nd floor. I could walk across to that Merchant Mart through a skyway and go. My highlight of my day was going to get some breakfast and maybe some dinner. And it's like, oh, just day and night on this and pounding. This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Friday, you start to see some light. Saturday, you're working. I got to keep at it. I'd call her and say, I don't know if I can do this. And there's another guy. He was head of our chapter. He had to go to Boston. He said, he was so close to leaving. Many people left. They told us, if you leave, I don't care if you have a broken leg, you better finish the course because we've given you this data and you're not going to get another chance. You're not going to be able to go home and figure this out over all this time. No, this is it for you guys. Don't do anything dumb. Just get it done. So they did say if you get close and you have a few things, we'll get back to you and say you need to fix this part. But anyway, so Friday night, Saturday, I'm thinking, man, I got to get this done. I'm calling home. She's freezing down here in the temperatures. And it's cold in Chicago, believe me. But I'm in this room where it's almost hot. And so she's encouraging me, and then finally says, I don't know what to tell you, you just got to keep going. And I did. I mean, it's like,
I had a friend in spirit.
Yeah.
That he would have the wisdom of God with any kind of strength of him. That was the only thing
I mean, physically. Yeah. Physically, I'm exhausted. And I'm going, I got textbooks, and I'm trying to research. You got to make your point. You've got to prove why this is worth this on this, and the whole thing. And so Saturday night, it's starting to flow. I told you this before, but I got to re-up. It's flowing. My conclusions, it's flowing. It's coming out of me. From, was it 7 till midnight, I think. And at midnight, the screen went, and I lost 5 hours of data. All that flow. I called Dell, because we have a Dell contract for, I said, no, it's gone. So I'm out of frustration. This is midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. I emailed the instructor, one of the facilitators, and said, I just want somebody to understand this. I don't think I called you in the middle of the night. And he actually got back to me and said, well, put in what you can. No, the next morning he said, put in what you can. Maybe you get enough that you can get to redo that once, But I made up my mind, pull myself together. I'm laying up because I want to lay hold. Because this is a designation where in this realm it's the top, and it means money. I mean, I couldn't have my business without this. I mean, I get cream of the, I mean, anyway. So I want to lay hold of this. So I thought, I'm just going to keep going. It wasn't pretty, but I worked all night, saw the sun come up in Chicago, and it wasn't pretty, but I kind of got there, and we had to transmit, hit the button by noon. I thought, I'm done with this. And I laid down. 45 minutes, she calls me, get up. I think I transmitted it then. I went out to get some breakfast and packed and got on the train, came home. You know, then you're waiting. This was, got home like the end of February. And we got to wait till April. She comes into my office one day, said, did you see there's an email? Kind of solemn looking at me, I mean. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I don't know.
I don't
want to
give it away.
And I open it up, and I made it. And I started crying. I thought, me, a guy from Bethel, I can be an MAI. To me, I mean, it's a goal. Like, and there's many, there's thousands in the world. But so did that. That's all I needed. Got the designation. Still working for the federal government. This is all at my expense. But, I mean, they won't even give you vacation time to do this. But then, because I'm a review person. That's my forte. I can review stuff. Some people hate it. You're looking at, some days I hate it because you're looking at people that have similar designations and they can't get it right. But the other day I thought, I found that New York City that one time, was an $20 million mistake or something. So they fixed it. I said, you missed this. And Bryce fixed it, sent it back. Anyway, then because I'm a review specialist, we decided, we got this email, they're having a premier class, first class ever, new designation, AIGRS for special review specialists. We just prayed over, decided we're going for this. Not that I wanted to go to Chicago again. But so I tried to enroll. They said the class is full, we're only taking 30, but you're on the waiting list. After a while, and I'm thinking, part of me is like, oh, to do this. And after a while they called and said, you're number 14 on the waiting list, we're taking 44, you're the last one, you're in. So make the plane reservations and go. And the night before I'm leaving, somebody says to me, are you going hunting? I said, first. I said, no, I'm going to Chicago. I said, oh, I thought you'd be retired. Another one that just thinks you just should stop. Anyway, went out there, spent the week studying, did the test, and again, that was December 7th, 2013, December 7th is MOED for me. Got finished that exam, got that. Now I have two designations. We actually formed an LLC for the business, and then a year later, didn't do anything because I'm still with the government. A year later, I had met this guy, and I'm laying up so I can lay hold. Now I laid hold of these designations. God supernaturally did this. I met this guy in Chicago. Introduction. He said, I did my first umbrella in 1968. I thought, I got to meet this guy. So talking to him, he has a review business. Long story short, I'm now a contractor with them out of Chicago. Nationwide stuff. Well, I talked about stuff in Hawaii. I get these assignments. And just a supernatural association. My first completed review was December 7th, 2014. 3 years in a row, it said December 7th. But anyway, so I laid up. I'm not bragging, but it took a lot of work. So you're laying up in store. It's like, you know, don't think you're sowing seed. You're just laying up for nothing. I laid hold on the prize and the designation, which is, it does put you in a whole different league. So going back here, so, you know, the living God who gives us richly all things of joy, laying up in store for yourselves a good foundation against the time to come. When you're giving to the poor, giving offerings, you have word that says you're laying up in heaven treasure. And we know from other things Jesus said that you can have it here. And in fact, it's Mark 10, I think. It's here and in the world to come. So you have both places. Where the disconnect is with a lot of the churches, they think they can't get it here. We need to get money out of our account, or not just the money. We need to take what's laid up in our account. You know, if you're laying up the word on healing, you're laying up in store in an account. When you need it, you better be able to lay hold on it. You don't just say, well, and a lot of churches, well, if God wants me healed, I'll be healed. You know, how's that working out for people? How's it working out? Well, if God wants me saved, I'll be saved. You know, no, you've got to receive what God's already given to you to walk in salvation. You know, it's God's given us everything we need. We've got to take it. We've got to walk in it. Now, the other million-dollar question, can my account in heaven affect my life down here? Yeah, we're seeing yes. It's laid up for us. You know, there's an incentive in God. He's not a socialist where, you know, like when the pilgrims first came over here in Plymouth, you know, well, it's all a community garden and this and that. You know, well, is there incentive in that? So, you know, I'll work a little bit. Conrad, you go work hard. I'll lay back a little. I'll get the same thing. How's that? Okay, now. See, that God's not like that. He's not a socialist. So we have this account. Look at Timothy again. Charge them that are rich in this world. First Timothy 6:17. They be not high-minded. So we're not trusting in these riches. We're trusting the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works. We're supposed to do good things. And you know, last time I ministered in September, your works give you reward in heaven. You know, remember that? You're not saved by your works, but they do give you work. Works do provide reward. And ready to distribute, willing to communicate. That word means willing to give. Laying up in store for yourself a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold, again, lay up, lay hold on eternal life. Well, see, it's just for eternal life. Eternal life is more than just when we get there. We're living in eternal life now.
That's right.
We get born again. So eternal life, you can lay hold on eternal life and be healed. You can lay hold on eternal life and be filled. You can lay hold on eternal life and, you know, receive the financial, you know, pay your bills, you know, and, or move ahead financially. Excuse me. So we're seeing here that this benefits us now and in the world to come. And the thing is, you know, it says in Matthew 6, you know this, it says, lay up, don't lay up. I'm going to turn there, you don't have to. I want to establish this so you know it, but I want to get this in your thinking. Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. In other words, don't hoard up money and never be a giver. You guys are not that way. But you know how some people are that way. I remember one guy, he says he's a Christian, he said, I worked for that money. I. Well, no, maybe God gave you that strength to do it. Maybe God was involved. But he says, lay up, not up for yourselves, treasured upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But he says, do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Once you give this, and it's in that heavenly account, it cannot rust, it cannot rot, nobody can steal it, there's no thieves in heaven, and I mean there's no rust in heaven, no rotting, and that's another stability thing. You've got some assurance, you've got treasure in heaven. Now how do you get it out from your account to where you can use it in the here and now, in the dirty here and now? So yeah, Mark 10 says you shall receive now and in the world to come eternal life. Well, eternal life, like I said, is not just when you get there, it's now. You know, somebody worked 30 years, lived, what do they call it, a minimal life, or I don't know, but you know, whatever you want to do, but worked 30 years, just get by, feed the kids, you know, maybe some clothes now and then, and just scrimp, everything else goes in the bank. And it's good to save, that's admirable. We always said, we know about accounts, we've known it for years. Maybe we don't have the biggest savings account, but we've got an account in heaven with a huge amount of money.
Amen.
So, you know, you hear people say, well, yeah, my 401k's got $3 million or whatever. If you've been giving and maybe you don't have but a whatever, just take it to heart. You've got more treasure. If you can learn how to pull that, then I'd agree. I'm talking about God wants us to live so we have the means to do what he wants done in this day. And he said he gives us richly all things to enjoy. If you enjoy a Harley Davidson, get one, you know. Nothing wrong with that. But so the guy's working 30 years, everything's going in the bank. You know, he's upset. He's saying, you know, I'm just tired of living like this. You know, my car is worn out, clothes are not the best, living in this house needs fixed. Well, why don't you take some money out of the bank? You have money in the bank? Yeah, oh yeah, I got money in the bank. Why don't you take money out of the bank? Well, I don't believe in that drawn out stuff. I don't believe that. That's false doctrine. My church elders, they said, no, you can't have, you don't withdraw. I'm using a natural example to jog your thinking on spiritual things. You have an account. Don't think, well, and a lot of the church, they don't say it, but underlying they're thinking, oh God, when are you going to do something for me? You know, that dirty hippie came in here, got born again, and next week he's saying he gave him a new VW van. How's that? Remember that? I don't know if you guys remember VW. Mm-hmm. So anyway, now they got a mic and they're all electric. What's wrong with this picture? Anyway, you could be sitting in here, and I've been going to this church 40 years, and I've been giving, I'm serving Pastor, giving, I'm serving God, and you never did that for me. This guy comes in, you give him a, there's this underlying tone, but we've got to realize you can draw out of your account. Not drawing out, that's error, that's false doctrine. You know, this can get me aggravated with people that criticize the false gospel, the false prosperity gospel. No, it's not a false gospel, you just don't know about it. And then you want my money? I don't think so. You know, I know people that I really respect, and they're great in what they do, but then they say the prosperity gospel is false. I don't like the word prosperity gospel. It is the gospel. Yeah. You know, God spoke the gospel to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all nations be blessed." That's error. That's false doctrine. Well, I just believe that the bank knows what I need, and in their good time, they'll get it to me. Does this sound really stupid, naturally speaking? But this is what a lot of the church world is doing, or a lot of the religious world, I should say. You know, you have an account, you need to withdraw it. And I was going to get into, we're going to have to do this next week, another portion of this, but let me see here. I just wanted you to look at Genesis 1:28 yet. I can't get into the other part because I'll do that next week. As they say, good Lord willing and weather permitting. So, Genesis 1:28, we know this. You know, some people say, well, I'll read it first and I'll comment. And God blessed them. Am I at the 1 hour and 15 minute mark? Anybody, do you know? Okay. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So here's the first thing. The first time God did it. He said, God blessed them in Genesis 1. Blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth. Amplified says, with his vast resources. There's vast resources in this earth. We're not running out. It's not global warming going to change things and everything's on the coastline. Well, there is obviously change, but the Bible says the earth is going to just, be melted away. So I'm not too concerned about this, but be fruitful, multiply. Replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, follow the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So we're supposed to have dominion, but be fruitful and multiply. God's a God of, multiplication. It's like I was saying, you don't want to just, and this hits home, you don't want to just say you gave whatever last year, and you don't want to just believe that you'll get, say you gave $10,000 whatever last year, and you don't want to just believe you get $10,000 back. Yeah, you've got your treasure in heaven. That's not going to be stolen, not going to rot, it's not going away, it's multiplying there. But you want to be able to take from your account, remember Philippians 4:17, not that I desire a gift, I desire, Apostle Paul said this, by the Holy Ghost, I desire that fruit may abound to your account. So you have an account, you want to have multiplication, you want to have things coming back to you. So the principle is, we read it earlier, much fruit. You want to produce much fruit that your Father be glorified. So I'm not talking about greed. We live in a big house, fine. I'm not talking about You got to have that. That's what God put in our heart. I'm not talking about greed. I'm not talking about living above your means or lavishly beyond. You know, when the church maybe needs something, no, you're not going to do that. Haggai talks about that, letting the church run down, and then but you're building your house. You know, the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's right after he said, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay it up in heaven." So he has blessed us. My point is, we have the blessing, but he's also given us a system of seed, time, and harvest. You can't just say, "Well, I'm blessed. I don't have to give," or "I just give." And that, you know, corresponding action when you're blessed is you give. Corresponding action is you learn how to receive. You learn how to reap. You don't let that wheat in the field. You bring it in. You say, "How do I do this? How do I do this?" I'm going to give you some tips next week, but you got the key is you got to be led by the Spirit. You know, you have to have faith rise up and possess what he's given us already. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1:3, he's given us all richly all things to enjoy. We talked about 2 Timothy 6:17. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3. So, you know, what's been given in the spirit realm, everything first is in the spirit realm. But you can take it, what's the point of, he said, you're given all spiritual blessings, let's just hold out until the end, and maybe they'll kill us and end it early for us, and we can't have anything. But no, the gospel doesn't spread that way. We're to be fruitful and multiply. I want this gospel multiplied throughout the earth, and it will be. And, you know, like I said, God doesn't need you or I to do it, but I want to be part of it. He's going to get it done. And he does have, he does need the money to do it. You know, we can do more money preaching the gospel than those that cry poverty and don't want you to have anything, you know, but then want your money, you know. That, it doesn't work that way. It works where this is all a message to get you thriving. I mean, God wants you to brought up a notch, and hopefully I've articulated this so that you're getting some scripture to base it on. Don't base it on what Mike said. No, you know, 2 Timothy 6:17, 18, 19 said this. I'm going to lay up in store. You think about this when you're giving. This is a confession you can make. Well, I've given today. You know, we have a missions offering here. We're giving this as an offering, so you can say we're laying up in store. I'm giving. I have treasure in heaven on this. This is going out. Can you imagine this going into Hanoi? Those of us of that era remember what, you know, Pastor was in Vietnam. This is going into the world. This is going into Mexico. This missions offering. So we're laying up treasure in heaven, and we want to, it's not going to rot, but I want to get that treasure. Let it. When you talked about not giving as a sense of loss grievously. Well, you don't want to go down and put your thing in there and the bag goes down through and you're waving by. No, you should say to your seed, "You go and grow and I'll see you soon."
Amen.
Multiply, yeah. So, you know, you got treasure going on here. So, praise God. I want to pray over this, and then we're gonna do our missions offering. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this word today. We take it to heart. We look at the scriptures. We sink our teeth into this. We walk by faith and not by sight. And I thank you. You'll tie this together next week. You'll bring it together with things that will be more revelation, more light. Light's already coming on how to bring this crop in. It's already coming on grabbing that sheath and just put the sickle in and grab that harvest. Light's coming on this, and it's coming for us all. We thank you for it today, for your goodness to us. You're helping us in Jesus' name. Amen.